Welcome, Demiake. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Thursday, February 25th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Jonga Kandemiri.
And I'm Demiake Mwakalielie.
Here are our top stories this evening.
United States Ambassador to Zimbabwe Harry Thomas Jr. says his nation will continue to build strong relations with Zimbabwe.
Preparations for President Robert Mugabe's slavish birthday are in top gear amid threats by some youth to disrupt the event.
And Maxwell
Schultz. We don't tolerate any demonstrations towards the 21st movement celebrations. We encourage all people to unite and work towards this event. The president is the solution to every problem we have.
And Maxwell Shumba's Zimbabwe First Party takes former Vice President Joyce Mujuru's party to court, claiming that she stole their party name.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
New United States Ambassador to Zimbabwe Harry K. Thomas Jr. officially started duties in Zimbabwe after presenting credentials to President Robert Mugabe. He pledged to continue the important work of building strong and respectful relations between the two countries. Our correspondent Ivan Chifera reports from Harare.
In a statement after meeting Mr. Mugabe, Ambassador Harry Thomas Jr. said America is keen to find common ground that would enhance bilateral relations between the two nations. He said the United States would continue to promote democratic institutions, equitable economic growth, public health, and food security in Zimbabwe. The United States, he said, shared the desires of the Zimbabwean people who want to see a peaceful, democratic and prosperous Zimbabwe that provides for its people and contributes to regional stability. Ambassador Harry Thomas Jr. said in his words, quote, "We strongly believe that it is important to engage with government and non-governmental entities alike to promote our shared values and work together in areas of common concern." End of quote. He added that the U.S. Embassy in Zimbabwe would continue to promote business linkages and encourage American investors to look closely at Zimbabwe's educated labor force and long-term growth potential. Reacting to some of these remarks, Harare resident Zia Mlambo said he expects the American ambassador to mend relations between the two countries.
You know, there have been broken relations between us and America, so we hope that you work hard to make sure that we relate well and we also benefit from our relations with America.
Political activist Marvin Mukundu added that it was pleasing that the American envoy was keen to normalize relations between the two nations. Media Center Director Ernest Mudzengi noted that the United States should support civil society, adding that though some organizations had abused donor funds sourced from America, the sector needed further support to enhance the democratization process. He said support was also needed to mitigate the effects of El Nino-induced drought.
There is the issue of drought. I hope and trust that the Americans, through the ambassador, will help us on this hour of need. We don't have adequate food, and we definitely need help.
Ambassador Thomas Jr. said the U.S. will provide humanitarian assistance to ensure food security in Zimbabwe. ZANU-PF legislator and chairman of Parliament's Foreign Affairs Committee, Kindness Baraza, said the new ambassador must prioritize the removal of targeted sanctions on Zimbabwe. On Monday this week, Foreign Affairs Minister Simbarashe Mbengegui slammed the U.S. and other Western countries, saying maintaining sanctions on Zimbabwe was derailing the country's re-engagement efforts with developed nations.
When it comes to re-engagement, we are always ready. But sometimes you think as you talk and discuss, they are not really listening or taking anything seriously, as illustrated by the recent renewal of sanctions on our first family.
The United States is building a new embassy campus that would cost $30 million and create 850 jobs. Ambassador Thomas Jr. takes over from Ambassador Bruce Swarton, who has been promoted. The United States and the European Union imposed targeted sanctions on President Mugabe and his inner circle following claims of human rights violations and election rigging. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
Preparations for President Robert Mugabe's $800,000 birthday bash are in top gear, despite reservations from some Zimbabweans who believe that the party set for Mashingo province on Saturday is a waste of money for a nation facing a devastating drought. Our correspondent Gantry Maramba has more details.
Organizers of the event say all is set for the bash, known as the 21st February movement, amid pomp fanfare among some members of the ruling party who staged a mini carnival in the city center today. Although some youth groups have threatened to stage massive street protests tomorrow in an attempt to block the event, Ezra Chazamira, who heads the birthday party organizing committee, says everything is in place at the Great Zimbabwe Monuments. Chazamira says they won't tolerate any public protest meant to derail the celebrations.
We don't tolerate any demonstrations towards the 21st movement celebrations. We encourage all people to unite and work towards this event. The president is the solution to every problem we have. And for the preparations, we are at 100%. Everything right now in positions. We are working towards only the ferrying of people to the event.
ZANU-PF supporters say the lavish birthday party is supposed to go ahead, though some people are against it. Talent Majoni, a young ruling party supporter, noted that they are pleased that Mashingo is hosting the president this year.
Comrade Robert Mugabe is our revolutionary icon and is the redeemer of Munumtapa Empire. It's highly symbolized by him being the chairman of AU and the chairman of SADC. So everybody in the province is in a jovial mood. We are saying happy, happy Goshungo. We respect you and we thank God for giving you all those years. We wish you many more.
Another ZANU-PF party youth, Bright Kwangwa, says people who are opposed to the birthday party should know that the president, who have an opportunity to see for himself the drought situation in Mashingo province.
The birthday celebrations of the president will not stop. Being almost 99 or 100% complete in terms of preparations, honestly, nothing can stop these celebrations. No, who knows? His coming could be a blessing in disguise, and we definitely want the head of state of government to be here to bless us in terms of probably opening some opportunities that are going to probably avert some of the challenges that are there. If he sees it for himself, the better. And this is exactly what we have been always longing for, to have him here, so that at least he have got first-hand information about everything, so that, like the father, he will solve the problem.
However, some local residents still maintain that the birthday bash is misplaced as people are struggling to get a decent meal a day due to the current drought. Prosper Tiringindi of Rujeko Sebab say it is strange that the president will be eating food with his friends when he has not yet even set foot on areas facing food shortages. He said Mr. Mugabe's government has even failed to resettle about 20,000 people who were displaced by floods in Mashingo almost 2 years ago.
Yeah, for the meantime, as a resident of Mashingo, there's nothing to celebrate for the President Robert Mugabe's birthday, because actually we have the social problems that we are facing.
His view were echoed by Ephraim Mutomben of the Zimbabwe National Students Union, ZINASU, who says the event should be abandoned.
As students, we don't welcome the decision taken by our president. This shows the heartless president. President, you can come on your own expense, but to us, it's like an insult.
The 21st February movement targeting Zimbabwean youth was formed nearly 30 years ago to set the stage for President Mugabe's birthday commemorations. Mr. Mugabe turned 92 on Sunday and has already been chosen as ZANU-PF's presidential candidate for the 2018 polls. He will be 94 years old that year. Reporting for Studio 7 in Mashingo, I am Kanti Maramba.
The children of some war veterans who participated in the liberation struggle of the 60s and 70s are now breathing fire, are urging a senior youth leader, Kudzai Chipanga, to apologize for threatening to deal with war veterans that do not allow or follow the ruling party's political processes. The youth, calling themselves the children of the Zimbabwe National Liberation War Veterans Association, chaired by Innocent Mtlanga, say they will ask President Mugabe to remove Chipanga, the Youth League deputy secretary, if he does not apologize for his utterances. Chipanga yesterday warned top ZANU-PF officials and former freedom fighters said to be gunning for the presidential post to show their unwavering support for President Mugabe, his wife Grace, and their children, or face expulsion from the party. Mtlanga tells Studio 7's Gibbs Dube that Chipanga's remarks are despicable.
The children of Zimbabwe National Liberation War Veterans Association, being the chief representative organ of all descendants of Liberation War veterans in the land, wishes to castigate in the strongest terms the reckless and careless threats or violence utterances made by Kudzai Chipanga, the Deputy Secretary for Youth Affairs in the party, against our distinguished liberators. The whole nation should have been saddened to hear a mere Mr. Chipanga grueless sectarian jibes against the war veterans of Zimbabwe liberation struggle. Chipanga should stop hallucinating that he can mobilize Zimbabwe young people to fight their own liberators.
That was Innocent Mtlanga, chairperson of the Children of Zimbabwe National Liberation War Veterans Association, speaking with reporters in Harare.
Former Vice President Joyce Mujuru's Zimbabwe People First Party is being dragged to court for allegedly stealing the name of another opposition party, Zimbabwe First. Zimbabwe First is arguing that Ms. Mujuru's party will confuse the electorate on ballot papers and cause them to vote for the other party. Zimbabwe First is an opposition party led by Maxwell Shumba, who is based here in the United States. Studio 7's Chris Gande spoke to Zimbabwe First Communications Director Tawanda Soswe, who says their lawyers have started the process to ask the court to stop the Mujuru outfit from using the name People First.
But, you know, we don't want to dead mouth one another. But if you look at the ideology itself, I think my Mujuru is the last person who can claim to want to use that name. Because ever since, there is nothing, if you look at her track record, that she has done, that we can, you know, say she really means it when she says she wants her party to be called People First, Country First, or Zim First. She has never put Zimbabweans first. She has never put the people first. So now what has changed? If someone has been in power for the past 34 years and she hasn't done anything, she never did anything that we can say, oh, yeah, she was putting the people first. Now she just comes all of a sudden, she wants to call herself People First.
That was Tawanda Sose, Communications Director of Zimbabwe First. He spoke to Studio 7's Chris Gande on the line from Dakota here in the United States. Chris also reached a spokesman, Rogare Gumbo, of the Zimbabwe People First, who says Shumba and his outfit are wasting their time because the name they have registered is Zimbabwe First and not Zimbabwe People First.
We are surprised about that because we have used this name since moved away from ZANU-PF. We registered the party. Our lawyer went to ZEC to establish whether there is any other political party with that name, and the ZEC people say no, there is no one. You are the only ones who are registered. Accordingly, we have noted your application, or we have approved your application, and that was that. We know in Zimbabwe there is always the confused mind that if you wanted to tarnish the image of someone, you use all the gimmicks to carry publicity and so on and so on.
But don't you think that the name People First might confuse your supporters with the name Zimbabwe First?
No, it won't be. I think Zek will clarify that when you go to election.
That was Rugare Gumbo, spokesman of opposition Zimbabwe People First, speaking with Studio 7's Chris Gande. Now we look at regional and international news.
Somalia's president says between 180 and 200 Kenyan soldiers were killed when Islamist militants attacked an African Union base in southwestern Somalia last month.
UN diplomats are considering a Security Council resolution endorsing a U.S. and Russian-backed ceasefire in Syria, which U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry says is the one way that can end this war.
The U.S. and UN have welcomed a declaration by Libyan lawmakers in support of a proposed unity government, but expressed concern about reported intimidation of members of parliament by those who oppose the accord.
And the U.S. Republican presidential candidates are headed to a crucial debate late Thursday, with Florida Senator Marco Rubio and Texas Senator Ted Cruz looking to keep the electoral momentum for the front-runner billionaire real estate mogul Donald Trump. The flamboyant Trump, who has never held elective office, has won three straight election contests in New Hampshire, South Carolina, and Nevada as the Republican campaign moves to next Tuesday's party primaries and caucuses in 12 states, the single biggest day so far in the months-long state-by-state races to pick the party's presidential candidate.
You're listening to Studio 7 coming to you live from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 medium wave and on the 4930-5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies.
Now, former workers of the Grain Marketing Board, who have been camping at the company's headquarters for more than 2 weeks now, demanding outstanding salaries, are vowing to stay put until they get their dues. The GMB head office in Eastleigh in Harare has almost become a home for the thousands of disgruntled former workers. Our reporter Patricia Mdadigwa visited the GMB headquarters in Harare and filed this report.
The former workers, who were dismissed last year in unclear circumstances, are owed salaries backing date to 2014. The ex-employees have formed an organization called Former GMB Workers Union. President of the union, Stephen Machaya, told Studio 7 they will only leave the GMB premises when their grievances have been addressed.
We told them that we want our full salary arrears so that we can dispense from this place. These party payments don't make sense to us, and they are only made when we come here. So we just decided to stay here until we've been paid our full salary. Yes, they just deposited $310 into our account without our consent. We told them point blank that we need our full salary.
Machaya claimed that GMB was peddling falsehoods following a statement the company released Tuesday, alleging that it has been paying the workers a monthly allowance of $300 since their dismissal.
That's not true. If it was the case, it wouldn't be here. Because it's now 7 months down the line after our contract has been terminated. What they are saying is it means they should have paid us more than 7 times or even 7 times.
Stella Rangwani, another former worker, said it has been tough staying in the open and small tents for the past 2 weeks.
The situation is very tough right now. It's raining. There's nowhere to go. Our properties were thrown out by our landlords, so we just need our money. The management is still ignorant. No response at the moment.
She urged the government to intervene, noting that some families camping at the GMB headquarters have children who are too young to understand what is going on. Philip Samanja, another former worker, told Studio 7 they have been locked outside the GMB premises, and as a result, they now do not have access to ablution and water facilities.
I think the issue is that
we are here as former GMB employees to get all our money owed to us. We are camped outside the premises because they are locking their gates. We tried engaging with them, but they do not want to listen to us and our needs. Until they give us our dues, we are here to stay. We are surprised that they have actually spoke to the media about the $310 they deposited into our accounts as if we agreed on it.
In a statement, GMB said they had no resources to pay the former workers and also acknowledged that the disgruntled former employees were expected to disperse after receiving $310 each that was paid on February the 16th while the organization was looking for more funds. The former workers are owed about $4.7 million in net salary arrears. A coalition of human rights organizations, the Zimbabwe Human Rights NGO Forum, has also released a statement calling upon GMB to respect the Zimbabwean constitution, which clearly states that every person has the right to fair and safe labor practices and to be paid a fair and reasonable wage. The organization further urged GMB management to constructively engage the former workers as a matter of urgency in order to find an amicable solution to the crisis. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Patricia Mdadigwa.
As mentioned earlier on, Zimbabweans are divided over President Robert Mugabe's lavish birthday party to be held Saturday in Masvingo, with ZANU-PF supporters saying this is a time to pay tribute to the Zimbabwean leader who liberated the nation from the yoke of colonialism. Opponents, on the other hand, say there is no reason for the celebrations as Zimbabwe is currently facing serious food shortages due to a devastating drought fueled by the El Nino weather phenomenon. Is it proper for ZANU-PF to throw an $800,000 birthday party for the president when the nation is also experiencing serious social and economic problems? For perspective, Studio 7's Gibbs Dube reached ZANU-PF legislator Joseph Chuma and George Mkwananzi of the People's Democratic Party, led by Tendai Biti. Chuma says there is nothing wrong with holding a lavish party for Mr. Mugabe.
This is the other people's initiative. They are so... agenda of the youth movement, which they feel must be part of the equation. So I don't know why somebody must be worried about someone else's agenda and way of doing things.
Mr. Mkwananzi, what do you think about the birthday and what Mr. Chuma say?
To start with, it is a waste of time in Zimbabwe. It is a waste of money to use such kind of resources to pamper an old man of 92. In a country where the citizens are starving. You know, the Southern Africa is faced with a very serious drought, and you have a president who purports to care for his people, you know, allowing himself to be pampered, you know, at the cost of $1 million or so in a mere birthday. I believe that is a scandal, and it should not be allowed to happen.
Mr. Chuba?
I think Mr. Mkwananzi probably is talking from a very ill-informed position. For starters, you must know that the president has done everything to make sure that this hunger issue is averted. He has declared a state of emergency towards this hunger issue, and the resources have been mobilized. As I speak, grain is being purchased from countries with that grain. And besides, the money that is being used for the birthday bash, it's not coming from any of the public coffers. It is money coming from private individuals who accept the cause of the 21st February movement, because it's not just about celebrating the president's 92 years on this earth. It's also about the youth themselves, the values that they are actually to be impacted on the youth. So it's a different pace altogether. It's a different budget altogether. But definitely the president is out there making sure that the hunger crisis, the hunger issues are actually held and managed in a proper manner.
And of course, Mr. Mkwananzi, I think Mr. Chuma is being truthful in saying that the money that is being used is sourced from individuals. So at the end of the day, there are no state resources that are being used here. Is that the case?
Actually, that's a height of insanity to say that the money is sourced from individuals. You know that in Zimbabwe, politics and economy are closely linked. The people who are purported to be providing these kind of monies, these are the people who have been at the helm of destroying the country. I mean, to say that there is value in the 21st February movement, I mean, to lose it totally. Because here is a man who has nothing to offer, a man who has nothing to teach anyone in terms of leadership, a man who has presided over a country's crumbling economy to a point where the country is unable to face a drought situation. You know what happened in the farms, which has opened way for, you know, a food insecurity in Zimbabwe. A country that has a thriving agriculture cannot be brought down to its knees by a single year's drought. We are where we are because the ZANU-PF government, which is led by Robert Mugabe, killed the economy through the fast track land reform program. And this is a man who has nothing in terms of emulation by the youth, because at 92, you have been in power for more than 35 years, almost 40 years, which is, you know, the time that the children of Israel spent in the desert. He is still in power, and he has totally run out of, you know, any ideas to run a country. There is nothing to learn from such a person.
Do you think so, Mr. Chuma? Nothing to learn from the president, or a lot to learn from him?
I think Mr. Mkwanazi is very clueless when he speaks about the Robert Mugabe. He probably doesn't know him. Maybe it's because he stays out of the country. He must come back here and understand the fundamentals of Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe was not killed by R.G. Mugabe. Zimbabwe was killed by the whites who were owning the economy, not the other way around. We took political independence, we did not take economical independence. And then when we took our land, because in the first place, the very same white person refused to honor their agreement to compensate their kiss and kin, then they started screwing our economy to make sure that we then suffer. So it is wrong for anybody to say R.G. Mugabe ruined the economy or there's nothing to learn from them. I mean, from him. It totally shows that he is somebody who's disrespectful, who has no clue whatsoever what they're talking about. He's just a loser himself. That's why he's not in Zimbabwe right now to defend Zimbabwe, to talk nice about Zimbabwe. In all other countries, today I was impressed to hear Malema of South Africa actually praising the Minister of Finance from South Africa, although he's from ANC and Malema is a leader of EFF, because he said we are talking about solidarity of our country, patriotism of our country. Then we have our fellow countrymen in South Africa talking like that. And I disqualify him from this. I don't think it's even worth for me to even talk to him about Zimbabwe if he does not know. Mugabe is respected worldwide in the whole of Africa. And then you tell me that there's nothing to learn about such a man. That's a very clueless man. I'm sorry about that, but I will not discuss things with clueless people.
You have the right to respond, Mr. Mkwanazi.
Definitely. I suppose he just picked up that name, that word, clueless, yesterday. He has everything to thank Robert Mugabe for. He has just been elected into parliament in the backdrop of, fraudulent elections.
That was George Mkwananzi of People's Democratic Party. You also heard from Joseph Chuma, ZANU-PF legislator. Both were speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube.
A women's rights group, the Women's Trust, says Zimbabwe's political parties should enact laws to safeguard top decision-making positions for women. Director Luta Shaba speaks with Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye about how her organization is working with women throughout the country to educate them on the rights to seek political office.
The way I see it is that the profile, the high profile of some individual women should not be mistaken as representatives of an increase of women's agency in Zimbabwe's political space. Because from the past, what we have seen is that women are often used. They are used as pawns. They are used as monkey's paws to touch what things and to be used to muddy up the waters. But when push comes to shove, when it comes to the person who's going to be sitting in that position of leadership, the women then get pushed to the side and the men take over. I'm not overly excited. The most important thing is to focus on the numbers. Because even if you have a very high-profile woman in parliament, in leadership, she can only have cast one vote. So what is important is the numbers. And I'm more interested in encouraging more women to seriously consider being candidates and standing within their political parties in the 2018 elections.
That was Director of the Women's Trust, Luta Shaba, speaking with Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye from Harare.
Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. today, when our hosts of the Women's Roundtable, Praxidis Jeremiah and Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye, will be talking with listeners and experts about the role of women in Zimbabwe politics.
And now before we go, a quick recap of our top stories today.
United States Ambassador to Zimbabwe Harry Thomas Jr. says his nation will continue to build strong relations with Zimbabwe.
Preparations for President Robert Mugabe's lavish birthday party are in top gear amid threats by youth to disrupt the event.
And Maxwell Shumba's Zimbabwe First Party takes former Vice President Joyce Mujuru's Zimbabwe People First Party to court, claiming that Ms. Mujuru stole their party name.
And that's our broadcast this evening. Thank you very much for tuning in. Please stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele, hosted by Ntungamili Nkomo. This is Ndimiyake Mwakalielie in Washington.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri, wishing you a pleasant evening.